prepared and empty-handed. That's where you come in. WGUL has once again teamed up with Feed the Children, an organization that distributes backpacks full of age-appropriate school supplies to homeless elementary and middle school students around the country. With your help, we are seeking to put 1,000 backpacks on the empty hooks in classrooms around the Tampa Bay area. Your gift of just $100 will provide backpacks filled with school supplies, as well as food and personal items for homeless children living right here in our area. Please call 877-714-5437. That's 714-KIDS, and help make a difference in the life of a child. That's 877-714-5437. Give online at 860WGUL.com.
The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is on, and we thank you for listening. And now, a special message to the fans of Focus on Females. Our health and medical education programs, including this radio clinic, is financially sponsored by the not-for-profit 501c3 Focus on Females Education Foundation. In this difficult economic time, our donations are way down, and presently we do not have the funds to continue this radio show past this summer. If this show or the annual Focus on Females Healthcare Symposium has made a difference to you, or if you are comforted in knowing that you can turn to us as a live, ready, reliable resource every Sunday, then now is the time to show your appreciation. Please send a donation to the Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679. That's Focus on Females Education Foundation, Post Office Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679, and we thank you for your support. Today we are tackling putting your hemorrhoids behind you with hemorrhoid specialist and surgeon Dr. Mitch Guttenplan, who practices in Atlanta, Georgia, but today comes to us from Dallas. But first, before we do, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with over 1,000 women in attendance during each of our last two events, with a combined 7,500 hours of education on those 2 days, is supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based healthcare safety net, making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The result? Better partnering with your existing doctor, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families through the immediate impact of direct with the expert health education. And before we begin today's show, I want to mention an article that was appeared in this week's Tampa Tribune about, quote, mosquito bite kills infant. And again, this is a topic that we discussed in a previous show on May the 30th, mosquitoes and the viruses that they carry and the impact on each of us if we get bitten with such a mosquito. In this case, it was a child which contracted encephalitis and died. The second death this past month from a mosquito-borne virus infection. So we encourage you to refer back to our Focus on Females library of podcasts on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic page, which you can access by going to our website at focusonfemales.com. And when the home page comes up, the left lower corner is a link to the Radio Healthcare Clinic page. Left-click that, and you will reach our healthcare clinic page. Scroll down to the library of shows, left-click the 2010 as the show was this year, and then down to May 30th. And there you'll find the podcast for that show. Pull it up, listen to it, and learn more about how to avoid this type of potentially deadly infection and get more information about it. Now, today, the topic is hemorrhoids and putting them behind you. And my guest is Dr. Mitch Guttenplan, who comes to us from Dallas today. Mitch, are you with us? Okay, while Cedric gets Mitch on through Skype. Mitch, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Mitch. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me.
Certainly. Now, Dr. Mitch Guttenplan is originally from Cleveland, Ohio, and received his medical degree from Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Mitch then completed a residency in surgery at Emory and has been in private practice in Atlanta since 1987. He is certified by the American Board of Surgery and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons. He has served as the chief of the combined surgical sections and the chief of trauma at North Fulton Regional Hospital in Atlanta, and now serves as the medical director of CRH Medical Products Corporation. In his latest role, Mitch has been writing, lecturing, and instructing physicians in the care of hemorrhoids throughout the U.S. as well as internationally. And additional information regarding topics that we will be discussing today can be found at www.curethemnow.com. So that's www.curethemnow.com. And again, Mitch, how are things in Dallas today? How's the weather?
Well, it's unruly hot. So I'm actually traveling to Jacksonville later today, and I'm hoping that there'll be some cool breezes when I get there.
Okay, well, we will be welcoming you back to Florida. Although I guess you practice in Atlanta, is that correct?
I do. I've been in practice in Atlanta since 1987, and have been working more specifically with hemorrhoids and other anal rectal issues in our clinic in the last 4 years.
Okay, and could you give before we get started, could you give the listeners the phone number if they want to contact your clinic to get more information?
Well, the clinic is 404-943-9579, but actually there are some caregivers in the Tampa Bay area. And you can find the people that are giving these sorts of treatments that we're going to be talking about at that website that we mentioned, that curethemnow.com. There is a link to find a physician, and some of the physicians that participate with the treatments that we recommend, they're listed there. So
very good.
Very easy to find.
Very good. Now, for those people that are streaming live from Atlanta, they can call directly to the clinic there.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about hemorrhoids. Let's first define them. What are hemorrhoids?
Well, hemorrhoids are actually a normally existing structure. There are generally three cushions of tissue that contain blood vessels and other fibrous tissue, and they're actually involved in incontinence and maintaining your continence. And everybody's got these. When we start to call them hemorrhoids, it's because problems have begun. And typically these cushions, which are very nicely held in place, at the lower end of the rectum, at the upper portion of the anus, when these tissue cushions become loose and become damaged, that's when people start having itching and bleeding and things of that sort. And that's when we start to call them hemorrhoids, and that's when they need some attention.
Well, let's ask the question, if a person has hemorrhoids, when should they be concerned? Well, let's back up a little bit. Is there ever an occasion when a hemorrhoid is a sign of something more sinister?
Well, the problem is that this is a part of the body that obviously we can't inspect ourselves very well. And many things that affect the colon, the lower intestinal tract, and can be mistaken for hemorrhoidal symptoms. And so if anybody has any bleeding from their bottom, if anybody has any other symptoms in that area, then it would be reasonable, if this is something that's not very self-limited, to seek medical attention, because we would certainly want to make certain that there's not a tumor, that there's not other inflammatory processes or some other disease that needs to be addressed. The difficulty is that many of these clinical entities all present in a very similar manner.
Mm. Can, for example, liver disease cause hemorrhoids?
Liver disease can make hemorrhoids much worse. They don't actually cause hemorrhoids. But when people have particularly cirrhosis of the liver, a lot of the blood vessels in the upper digestive tract, in the esophagus, as well as in the lower GI tract, in the anus and rectum, can become very distended and can become very abnormal. So certainly hemorrhoidal problems become much worse in folks that have liver disease.
And when should a person seek attention for their hemorrhoids?
I think it depends on the attention on the problems that they're having. If patients simply have some mild itching or irritation, then there are often conservative measures that can be performed to take care of things at home. A lot of these over-the-counter medications are broadly advertised. When people have bleeding, however, we always want to make certain that the patient doesn't have a polyp or a tumor or some other underlying process, and particularly in folks who have family history of colorectal cancer, are of certain age group, getting additional attention, and this often includes a colonoscopy or a flexible sigmoidoscopy, is indicated just to make certain that there aren't any other more serious problems ongoing.
And Mitch, you mentioned about the bleeding issue. What if a person just notices bright red blood on the bathroom tissue without active bleeding? Is that a cause of concern, or how much blood does one see before they start getting concerned?
Well,
Difficult question, perhaps.
It is a difficult, and there's a bit of controversy with that as well. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's usually a duck. And if people have hemorrhoids and a little itching and a little bleeding, that's typically what it's going to be. On the other hand, I feel very uneasy as a clinician if a patient comes to me and complains of blood on the tissue, of just writing things off that's only hemorrhoidal issues. Certainly, if you've got hemorrhoids and bleeding, that doesn't mean that you don't have a polyp upstream from there, or God forbid, a cancer upstream from there. And so we would certainly want to be aware of that. I would say that if you have any significant bleeding whatsoever, that you should bring this to the attention of your primary care physician, and then a conversation and an examination and discussion can be held, and a determination as to whether or not additional diagnostic measures are warranted. Certainly, if you're 50 years old and haven't had a screening colonoscopy, that's something that's going to be recommended. And then there are other things that will drive a recommendation of getting colonoscoped as well.
Okay. And for our listeners now, our call-in number is a great opportunity to call in with any questions about hemorrhoids, or for that matter, the lower intestinal tract, or anywhere in the intestinal tract. The number is 289-1860 here in Hillsborough County. That's 289-1860. Everywhere else, for those that are streaming live, it's area code 877-969-8600. That's 877-969-8600. And we'll be taking a quick break, and we'll be back for more on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Today's topic, Put Your Hemorrhoids Behind You, with Dr. Mitch Guttenplan. Be right back.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Their mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions speaking plain English and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health literacy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit FocusOnFemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702. Thank you.
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. He has written a best-selling, award-winning book, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome, published by Yale University Press. Dr. Maskin manages dry eye disorders using, when needed, innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has successfully managed difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He has been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2010. And as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America, we hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please visit drmaskin.com. And if you have not found relief for your painful red, dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Focus. Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860. And everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin. Focus on
Females. Welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. I'm joined today with Dr. Mitch Guttenplant, who is a surgeon, hemorrhoid specialist, and medical director of CRH Medical Products Corporation, who has innovative products for treatment of hemorrhoids. And Mitch joins us from Dallas today. And Mitch, welcome back.
Thank you.
So we start talking about what are hemorrhoids and how do I know if I have hemorrhoids or some other problem, when to get a further evaluation and share with your physician your symptoms. What kinds of patient populations do you see hemorrhoids? And I imagine women postpartum after delivering children are a population of that tend to have increased hemorrhoid in frequency.
Oh, absolutely. Well, hemorrhoids are, and other anorectal issues are very, very common. And in fact, most statistics show that by the age of 50, at least half of the U.S. population will have had some symptoms of hemorrhoids, fissures, or some other anorectal issue. There are various subsets of patients that are much more frequent to have these sorts of symptoms. And as you mentioned, pregnancy is one of the real big onset issues with patients that develop hemorrhoidal issues. When we see folks in our clinic and typically see a woman on the first examination and you ask them how long they've been having hemorrhoid issues, it usually dates back to one of their deliveries.
Hmm. And with each subsequent delivery, does the extent of hemorrhoids, the severity, tend to increase?
It certainly can. A lot of it has to do. There's a lot of stimulating factors as to people who present with these sorts of problems. People who are chronically constipated, or have other lower digestive tract issues. People who are obese, people who have liver disease, as we mentioned before, can have complicating issues. Pregnancy, a sedentary lifestyle, people who spend a lot of time sitting, long-distance truck drivers, pilots, people in those sorts of categories. These are all very frequent types of patients that we see in the clinic.
How about with the emphasis on exercise and cardio training and so forth, lifting or resistance training, do those play a role as an increased factor or a factor that increases the risk of developing hemorrhoids?
It certainly can. Chronic straining and chronic heavy lifting. We had a recent patient that was a professional football player, and he had a strength coach that said, if you're not getting hemorrhoids, you're not working hard enough in the weight room. So certainly that is something that we do see. I think that having a good cardio profile and being able to exercise and do these other things in the overall health of a patient is much more important than that small risk of developing hemorrhoidal issues. And it actually, as we mentioned, a sedentary lifestyle actually predisposes you to these issues more than being overly active.
Okay. So like, if someone were to run on a hard surface like concrete, that pounding, you know, for miles and miles and miles would not necessarily increase the risk of developing this?
I don't know that it would increase the risk. It certainly might increase the aggravation that you're having from your existing problems. Mm-hmm. And we see people that are active cyclists and things like that, and that may experience more trauma to that part of their body. But I don't know how much that develops the problem, but it certainly can aggravate an existing problem.
Do you notice that people on blood thinners, whether it be aspirin or other non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agents, as well as Coumadin and warfarin, have increased incidence of hemorrhoids?
I don't know that they have an increased incidence of hemorrhoids, but they certainly have an increased incidence of bleeding from the hemorrhoids that mm-hmm. they have.
Okay. All right. Now, let's say a person does not presently have hemorrhoids. What can they do to prevent them?
The best thing for you to do is to add fiber to your diet. If you look statistically at the Western diet, we don't have enough fiber in our diet. It's felt that depending on the type of patient, you should have between 25 and 35 grams of fiber in your diet in a day. And the average North American diet has closer to 15 grams of fiber. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to try and prevent having this problem, adding fiber to your diet, and there's lots of commercially available products that are all over the counter. The one thing we do advise you to do if you're going to be using these products is to actually read the side of the bottle, because a lot of people take these fiber pills, and if you look at the content of fiber within one of these pills, it's about a half a gram. So you have to have an awful lot of these pills to make up for the amount of fiber that we're lacking. But we're trying to add roughly between 10 and 15 grams of fiber a day to our diet. In addition to that, you have to add fluid to your diet. We want to have a nice, soft stool that we're not having to spend a lot of time on the commode in order to pass, and we're not wanting to have someone do a lot of straining. We ask that you institute, we call it a two-minute rule. If you're able to go to the commode and do your business in a couple of minutes, that's great. We want you to remove the library from the restroom and not spend a lot of time in there, because that being in that position and straining predisposes you to the development of hemorrhoids.
And I guess that goes along with the notion that you should plan on using the restroom after a meal, kind of trying to train your body to use the restroom after a meal, which would perhaps assist in developing a two-minute rule.
Yeah, that does help. And by not avoiding the urge to go, mm-hmm. And when it's time, it's time, and then when you're there, to go ahead and do what you came for, and then go on with your day.
Get it done.
The more time you actually spend in there, it's counterproductive.
And that, of course, is very important for mothers with young children who oftentimes put off going because of having young children.
Yeah, absolutely right.
So, and this is a short segment, so we have another minute to go, just about before we come back. After a break, when we do come back, then we will talk about what to do if you have hemorrhoids. In the meantime, this is Dr. Steve Maskin with Dr. Mitch Guttenplan. We'll be right back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're talking about hemorrhoids today. We'll be right back. Focus on females. Make no fun.
With us are in news. I'm Ken Lorman in Washington. A weekend of rocket attacks from Gaza on communities in southern Israel has prompted a stern warning. Prime Minister Netanyahu says Israel will retaliate for any attack against its people. The rockets caused damage but no injuries. Good weather is helping fire crews make progress against a number of Southern California wildfires. The blaze smoldering in the high desert north of Los Angeles is 82% contained. The monsoon rains have eased in northwest Pakistan, but that's only revealing the full scale of the disaster. Officials describe the destruction from a week of flooding as massive. So far, the official death toll there in Pakistan stands at 1,100. More details at SRNnews.com.
In the middle of a deep recession, Democrats say they want to let the Bush-era tax cuts expire.
They should be repealed.
It could amount to the largest tax increase in American history.
House Republicans will oppose this tax increase with everything we've got.
Thousands of small business owners may have to fire employees just to pay the IRS.
It could pull back significantly and hurt the very fragile recovery.
Now, more than ever, it isn't as if we didn't see it coming. Talk Radio 860, WGUL.
Why does everyone mumble so much?
Restaurants are so noisy.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, please?
Sound familiar? Dr. Indira Alvarez, board-certified audiologist, can help you hear better today and change your life. I know what you're thinking, but with today's technology, advanced hearing instruments are small and discreet. Don't wait. If you're having hearing difficulties, call Alvarez Audiology for an appointment. 813-265-2255. That's 813-265-2255.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Their mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit FocusOnFemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702. Thank you.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. And with me is Dr. Mitch Guttenplan, and Dr. Guttenplan focuses on hemorrhoids. He's a surgeon, and he is also medical director of CRH Medical Products Corporation, who focuses on development of hemorrhoid technology, that is, treatment of hemorrhoids. And speaking about treatment of hemorrhoids, Mitch, let's how would you explain to our listeners the treatment algorithm for hemorrhoids, which perhaps would include the different stages of hemorrhoid development?
Well sure. There are a number of things that you can do. The most minor cases of hemorrhoids will oftentimes respond to very conservative measures. Taking a nice warm sitz bath as a soothing issue, taking stool softeners and or fiber so that you're not straining at the stool. There are a number of preparations that are over-the-counter that you can apply. These will take care of the most mild symptoms that people have. These treatments don't really take care of the underlying issue, but they take care of some of the problems that that occur. When these problems become more frequent or more severe, then there are some non-surgical and surgical treatments that we can entertain. The good news is that with the development of some of these new technologies, the need for surgery has become far less frequent than was used in the past. In fact, previously, a lot of our patients have been put off by their healthcare providers because some of the other treatments for hemorrhoids are so miserable to have done performed on you that they would wait until you had the most severe problems with your hemorrhoids before entertaining treatment. Now there are some treatments that are much more humane. They're not unpleasant. They're easy to tolerate, and they're very effective. And so patients with more minor symptoms can be treated as well. And that's where we've been involved in our clinic with taking care of patients with these sorts of symptoms.
So it sounds like with the technologies that you all have developed, even the more minor cases of hemorrhoids can be addressed in a manner which is well tolerated by the patient, so they wouldn't have to be looking at chronic use of these over-the-counter therapies, the bath, frequent baths, sitz baths, and so forth. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is accurate. We do ask, even after we treat patients, that they do their best to change their diet, as we described earlier, with the addition of and that will minimize the risk of recurrence, no matter what treatment you give a patient with hemorrhoids, whether it's a surgical treatment or non-surgical treatment, there is always a risk of recurrence, and we want to keep ourselves in that lowest risk category. And the addition of fiber and fluid to the diet is probably the one single thing you can do to give yourself the best chance of not having future problems.
And again, we encourage our listeners to call in with questions. We're in Hillsborough County, 289-1860. That's 289-1860. Everywhere else is toll-free, 877-969-8600. 877-969-8600. So would you describe for our listeners what the surgery or the surgical approach used to be, or in some cases maybe still is, for hemorrhoids, and how the technologies that you all have developed make it so much easier?
Sure. Well, everybody has an Uncle Harry who is always at the Thanksgiving table every year, starts talking about the horrors of his previous hemorrhoid surgery. And actually, these kinds of stories that people hear will oftentimes make people shy away from seeking treatment for their hemorrhoids because they think all the treatments are this miserable. A hemorrhoidectomy, a class 6 surgical hemorrhoidectomy, involves a cutting away of the hemorrhoidal tissue and suturing a portion of the lining that you've removed, suturing back up together again. It's very uncomfortable. It makes for a very interesting few weeks after you've had this surgical treatment. There have been developed, because of the morbidity that goes along with this kind of surgical treatment, there are some other surgeries that are being performed. There's something called a PPH, or a stapled hemorrhoidectomy, where a device that actually cuts and staples back together a portion of the tissue that's involved can be utilized in the operating room, and it's a bit less uncomfortable and affords the patient a bit less disability after the procedure, but it's still a fairly significant procedure. In our clinic, we use a rubber band ligation system, and it's called the CRHO Reagan ligator, and basically this is a modified syringe that allows us to place a rubber band around the base of the hemorrhoid, and this rubber band will constrict the blood flow to this tissue. The tissue will die, and it will slough off and actually pass in the stool, and the rest of the tissue scars back into place, eliminating the problems that you have with hemorrhoids. If you place this rubber band high enough up in the rectal canal, there are no sensory nerve fibers there, and so the patient does not experience any pain. The sensation that patients will have for the remainder of the day and possibly a bit of the next day is a sense of pressure or feeling like they have to move their bowels, but they should have no pain whatsoever. As patients typically have 3 hemorrhoids, in order to minimize complications and minimize problems, we treat one hemorrhoid at a setting. So most patients require 3 treatments. The treatment itself is about a 45-second treatment, and they can return to work the same day. We'll see them back 2 weeks later for the second hemorrhoid, 2 weeks later for the third hemorrhoid, and then check them back a month or two after that to make certain that all is well.
This is done in the clinic.
It's actually, yes, it's, there's no anesthesia, there's no prep, you don't have to take enemas, you don't have to have nothing to eat after midnight. You just come in from work, you get this done, and then you head back out again.
Like,
again, the procedure takes about 45 seconds to perform.
It sounds like being, you know, putting a ring on your finger, being fit for your wedding band.
I would hope that the wedding band wouldn't do to your finger what we do to the hemorrhoid, but I guess so. There are a lot of people, when we get people that have worked with various animals, the rubber bands are used in all sorts of ways to dock sheep's tails and to and things of that sort. And this is a very similar process. We're actually strangulating some of this tissue, but because there's no sensory nerve fibers, you don't really feel what's going on.
Yeah, it sounds quite tolerable. And how long has this technology been available for?
Rubber band ligation has been around since the 50s. It's actually the most frequently performed procedure for hemorrhoids. And there's a bunch of ways to deliver the rubber band where it needs to be. Our device has been around since the early 2000s, and I've been utilizing it since 2006. And it's basically just a better mousetrap to put the rubber band where it needs to be. If you use any of these devices that are out there to put a rubber band in the right place, you'll get a good result. The device that we're using just lets you do it more quickly, easily, efficiently, and as far as the patient's concerned, more comfortably than the other technologies that are out there.
Hmm. So is there any pre-procedural sedation, whether it be, you know, sublingual or otherwise, that a patient needs?
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
And again, the only thing that you sense when you're the patient is you sense the rectal exam, because obviously we're going to examine you with a finger and with a very small scope. The device that we use is actually about the same diameter as an index finger, and so it's very much like getting a diagnostic rectal exam. Because we're able to put this in very quickly, and it's about a 45-second procedure, it's one of those things that it's nobody's thrilled after having a rectal exam, but it's no more involved than a rectal exam. It's actually very important to have the patient awake, because if the patient does sense any discomfort after we've placed the rubber band, then we need to know to adjust this band or to remove the band in order to make sure that you have adequate placement. So it actually adds to the safety profile, the fact that we have an awake patient.
Mm. What is the band made out of?
It's a latex material. We do have a substitute band for patients that are allergic to latex.
Mm-hmm.
It works fairly well. It isn't quite as good as the latex band, but it basically looks like a little tiny rubber band, very much like the rubber bands that when you take your child to the orthodontist and they adjust the braces, it's very similar to those type bands.
And did you say that the band itself gets absorbed as well?
It does not get absorbed.
Okay.
The tissue and the rubber band basically fall off. And usually within 2 to 5 or 6 days, that band is gone.
Okay, so it falls off. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
And it just mixes in with the stool. Most people don't notice that it's passed.
Okay. All right. And we haven't really talked about the stages of hemorrhoids or the different levels of hemorrhoids. Obviously, there's some hemorrhoids which are just like a bulge in the anal canal, and others completely prolapsed into the canal and even externally. Does this procedure work as effectively for all stages, or do you need sufficient amounts of bulge or intrusion into the anal canal to be able to get around it with a band?
No. Actually, there are four stages or grades of hemorrhoids.
Mm-hmm.
Grade 1 hemorrhoids just bleed. Grade 2 hemorrhoids, when you go to the bathroom, actually come out and then they resume their normal location after you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Grade 3 hemorrhoids, the patient actually physically pushes them back into place. And then grade 4 hemorrhoids are prolapsed and they're what we call incarcerated, or they're stuck outside. We're able to treat all grades 1 through 3 hemorrhoids. And after some special manipulations that we're able to perform, even some grade 4 hemorrhoids, using these techniques, we've reduced the number of the percentage of patients that need to go to the operating room to only about 1%.
Wow.
Which is a tremendous advance. We as a general surgeon, I never enjoyed looking forward to taking care and doing the surgical hemorrhoidectomy. Mm-hmm. The procedures are unpleasant. The patients are very uncomfortable, and it was no fun for anybody involved. The fact that we're able to now take 99% of these patients and avoid the operating room has been just a tremendous advance in our care for these.
Now, is this considered the non-surgical hemorrhoid removal? Is that what this
is? It is one of the forms of non-surgical removal that are out there. There are several types of technologies that are out there, rubber band ligation being one of them, and being my favorite. Mm-hmm. But there are other treatments that you'll see touted, and they all have varying levels of effectiveness. If you've got to have one club in your bag as far as treating hemorrhoids, my favorite tool to use is the rubber band, and using our device, it makes it very easy to deploy and to utilize the rubber band appropriately.
And how does one, let's say someone listening is interested in pursuing this further, how does one find out more information? How does one decide which is the right surgeon, or how many cases should they have done before the patient should feel comfortable, or how does the patient select which surgeon to use?
Well, and it's not only surgeons now. What we've been doing, and the reason that I'm out of town right now, is we've been going around the country, and we've been training gastroenterologists to perform these procedures as well. So many patients with these problems present to the GI's office. They're getting their colonoscopy. They're having their hemorrhoids diagnosed there as well. And while hemorrhoid care has historically been in the domain of the general or colorectal surgeon, more and more gastroenterologists are getting involved in these treatment protocols as well. The device that we utilize is something that is very easily and very competently utilized by the gastroenterologist. We insist with our device that the physicians be trained with hands-on training with the use of the device before we're able to actually allow them to continue to use this. Mm-hmm. And so we try and make certain that everybody that's utilizing this device knows what they're doing and is competent in doing so. The website that you mentioned, and it's curethemnow.com, if you go to that website, there's a lot of information about hemorrhoids, fissures, the various treatments that are available. And there's a window where you can click on it's a find the physician link. And so pick out your geographic part of the country, and you can find people who have been trained in this technology and are able to provide the care that you require.
So do you feel then that patients should have no concern about having their gastroenterologist do this? Is there essentially no risk of an emergency type of development where they would need a surgeon?
We never say never in our business. Utilizing our technology, we have a 1% complication rate, and the complications involve bleeding or pain. And if the patient has pain, then there's typically topical medications that can be prescribed in order to alleviate that discomfort. And if you're having bleeding, it's from the area where this tissue has sloughed off, and it can typically be cauterized. And the gastroenterologist can do just as good of a job of controlling that as can the surgeon. When I have a patient that has a bleeding issue, we actually use something as simple as a silver nitrate stick. It's like a Stiptic pencil, just to cauterize the area that's bleeding. Mm-hmm. The gastroenterologist has tools through their colonoscope that they can utilize to perform that same cauterization.
And what's the recurrence rate after these three? You said typically there are three hemorrhoids that develop. What's the long-term prognosis?
Sure. Typically there are three treatments. About 10 to 15% of people don't need three treatments. They can get by with one or two. About 15 to 20% of people will need more than three treatments. As far as a recurrence rate is concerned, at 2 years, the recurrence rate is roughly 5%. And if you go out closer to 5 years, the recurrence rate is going to be closer to 15 to 20%. And this is very comparable with other non-surgical treatments. If you look at surgical hemorrhoidectomy, early on, the complication rate, pain, disability, things of that sort, are all much higher than with rubber band ligation. The long-term recurrence rate is a little bit less, where rubber banding gets you up to 15 to 20%. Typically, hemorrhoidectomy, surgical hemorrhoidectomy, is in the 10 to 15%. Hmm. So you do have fewer recurrences with a surgical treatment, but most people will tell you that it's well worth that slightly increased risk of having a recurrent hemorrhoid to avoid the surgery. And the good news is if you do have a recurrence, we can take care of those with rubber bands as well.
Outstanding. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, our last break for the show, and be right back with more. In the meantime, to call in, now is the time, 289-1860. That's 289-1860. Everywhere else outside of Hillsborough County, it's 877-969-8600. Be right back with more on hemorrhoid therapy. Be right back.
Believe it or not, the back-to-school rush is right around the corner. It may also be hard for you to believe that when school starts next month, there will be over 5,800 homeless children in our community starting the school year unprepared and empty-handed. That's where you come in. WGUL has once again teamed up with Feed the Children, an organization that distributes backpacks full of age-appropriate school supplies to homeless elementary and middle school students around the country. With your help, we are seeking to put 1,000 backpacks on the empty hooks in classrooms around the Tampa Bay area. Your gift of just $100 will provide backpacks filled with school supplies, as well as food and personal items for homeless children living right here in our area. Please call 877-714-5437. That's 714-KIDS, and help make a difference in the life of a child. That's 877-714-5437. Give online at 860WGUL.com.
The credibility of the mainstream media is hitting a new low. Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. We've seen how newspapers and the broadcast networks like to twist the facts or just ignore them completely. And as we count down the days before the November election, it's only going to get worse. Now more than ever, you need townhall.com. Townhall.com cuts through the spin and the finger pointing. Don't get snookered by the mainstream media. Whether it's the debate over higher taxes, immigration, or the war in Afghanistan, log on to townhall.com today and read what you've been missing. Townhall.com.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Their mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit FocusOnFemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702. Thank you.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. It's 1:54. And we've been talking this hour with Dr. Mitch Guttenplan, who is the medical director of CRH Medical Products Corporation, with exciting technology in the treatment of hemorrhoids, specifically rubber band ligation. And Mitch, I have to say that this does sound quite exciting. How long have you all had this advancement in technology and had this available for patients?
Well, I've had this available to me since 2006. The fellow that has done the most work with this particular device in the world came out with his first paper in 2003, and it reported on treating about 1,800 patients. and he had about a 99% efficacy rate with less than 1% complications. And so this was something that was very exciting to us. We had long been frustrated with the other types of therapies that were out there for us. And so where this was something that we normally shied away from trying to treat, it's been very interesting because these are now some of our favorite patients. So many of our folks that come to see us have been bothered for so long with this, and we have a pretty simple way to quickly get them feeling better, and it's been a tremendous interaction with these folks.
Yeah, this sounds like a real sea change in the approach to treatment of this disease.
From my perspective, it sure has been, and I think that now that we're making these kinds of treatments available on a broader scale to other physicians around the country, and working the gastroenterologists into this as well, it's going to allow for many more people to be able to be treated in such a way.
Do you know if patients have access to this technology in all 50 states, or are you still trying to make inroads in some areas?
We are certainly working hard to bring this to everyone who's interested, and I believe we're in about 30 states right now. We are still actively going out, and in fact, I'm spending a lot of my time training right now. My partner has been covering a lot of my clinical responsibilities back in the clinic when I'm out on the road, and we've been working very aggressively with a lot of docs around the country. It's been very well received.
And how does colonoscopy fit in with the treatment for hemorrhoids and fissures? And for that matter, let's spend maybe a minute or so on an anal fissure and what patients need to do about that.
Anal fissure is basically a cut or a tear in the tissue, and it's something that happens because of a large bowel movement or a hard bowel movement, and it causes characteristically pain when you're moving your bowels. One of the things that we found in our clinic is that small fissures and other problems with the muscles, the anal sphincters, the muscles of the pelvic floor, an underappreciation of what's going on there has really limited the effectiveness of a lot of the treatments that are out there. As many as 50% of our patients have coexistent issues either with fissures or other spasm disorders. We address most of these with topical ointments, particularly nitroglycerin ointment, which acts as a topical muscle relaxer to get these muscles to not be spastic. If the clinician does not spend the time and does not acknowledge these other and recognize these other issues, they tend not to get the same clinical results. So many of these folks have more than one thing going on at the same time, and that's why dealing with someone who's aware of all that's going on in that area is in your best interest. You'll get the best results then.
Mitch, I've got 30 seconds. Can you give a take-home message for our listeners?
I would just tell people that not to be embarrassed by the fact that they may have problems with their bottoms. If they're having these problems, talk to your primary care physician or your gastroenterologist or surgeon, and let us get you taken care of.
Excellent. Thank you, Mitch, very much. We appreciate having you on today, and good luck to you and the new technology. It's very exciting and sounds very promising.
Thanks much, and thanks for having me.
You bet. And for everybody listening out there, next Sunday on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, it's Prostate Cancer, What You Need to Know, with Dr. Chandler Dora. Prostate Cancer, What You Need to Know. In the meantime, this is Dr. Steve Maskin offering and wishing each and every one of you a healthy week. And remember, stay away from the mosquitoes. Check out our podcast May 30th about mosquitoes and mosquito virus-related diseases.